Blog Talk Radio.
Now, how many know that Jesus reigns?
I don't care how old it is. God bless you, everybody. God bless you, and welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. You know who I am. I'm Brother Manny, and today is Tuesday. What my brother and I like to do is to come on this platform, and we talk about the Bible a little bit, and, well, Pastor Murphy does most of the talking. I kind of just help them out every now and again. But it is an opportunity for you, the listener, to dial in with any questions about the lesson, any comments that you may have, any inspiration God may give you about what the topic is tonight. Feel free to call in. I mean, we will answer the calls in the order that they are received. But the number to call in is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. Listen, if you're listening live, I want you to share the link that you clicked on to get us, because I have a feeling somebody needs to hear this message. What's the message? Well, I'm glad you asked. The topic, living by what we cannot see. Living by what we cannot see. I know you might be saying to yourself, Brother Manny, don't you mean living by what we can see? Nope, that's not what I mean. We are talking about living by what we cannot see. So, without further ado, I am going to bring on my brother. He's the pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis, my dear brother, Brother Joseph. What's up, Rev?
Man, what's going on, Brother Manny? How you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty good. I thank God for just being alive, brother. Another
Amen
day of working, you know? Working
Amen
in the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'll say a brief prayer, and then I'll let you go ahead and take it from there. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another opportunity. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly that you have us alive and breathing on our own, in our right minds, We thank you that you've allowed us this opportunity to come on Blog Talk Radio on God's Word to Man and share the gospel. Share your word with somebody. May it touch somebody. May it heal, deliver, and set free. May it encourage, inspire, and uplift in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
yes,
take over like only you can. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Speak through us that the people may be blessed, that they may hear you, Holy Father, and not us, in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes,
and we thank you. We praise you and give
thank
you glory,
Lord.
And we love you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, God. Amen. 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 So, you know, as I begin to look at this verse of Scripture that the Apostle Paul is sharing with us, and I want to read it from the New Living Translation. The King James says, "We walk by faith." We walk by faith and not by sight. But the King James, but the New Living Translation says, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." And so that word walk in the Greek is translated into the word live. And so that's why I wanted to kind of give us the New Living Translation's version. And he says that we live by believing and not by seeing. And that's kind of how, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me our title, Living by What We Cannot See. And even though we hear this word sight mentioned in King James Version, and then we hear the word see in the New Living Translation, realistically, this scripture has zero to do with physical sight.
Amen.
It has absolutely nothing to do with physical sight or being able to see or the sense, which is sight. And so what the Apostle Paul is trying to help the Church of Corinth to understand is that there's a hope that we have, and I'll get to that in a minute, but that hope really is in an invisible God. When we get to heaven, Brother Manny, we will not see God the Father, that is. We'll see God the Son. We'll see God manifested in the Son, Jesus, amen. But God is a spirit. The Scripture tells us that, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so, when we get this sense by which that God is everlasting, He always existed, amen. That His spirit always existed. There's no other way of putting it, because there's not a time frame you can place on someone who never did exist. Do you see what I'm saying? That there was not a
mm-hmm.
point in time in which God did not exist. Amen. There wasn't a culture that God did not exist. There wasn't a decade or a century or an eon in which God did not exist, because He always existed. And so it will behoove us to spend less time trying to figure out the origin of God and simply conclude God doesn't have an origin. Amen. Amen. It would be in our best interest to simply conclude that as a matter of fact, because that is the closest that we're going to get to understanding His ever existing. And so, as I said, this text has nothing to do with our physical sight. And so, as we begin to take a look at it, speaking to us basically on how we first came to believe, how we came to believe in God. We believe in God even though we cannot see him, nor has anyone seen God. And so Paul is saying, you who are going to come into the faith, you must do this from a place of simply believing, faith. Paul says, I can't show you a physical manifestation of God because Jesus had already resurrected. Paul is saying, you're just going to have to take essentially my word for it. Think about this, Brother Manny. Think about this. When we say we've given our lives to the Lord, when we say we have gotten saved, or depending on the culture you live in, the world, what part of the world you live in, when we say we have been born again, the truth of the matter is we are simply taking this thing called God, this entity called God, on faith. Because, again, the truth of the matter is it's not like being sworn in at court where you get to see the judge. But when we say that we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the truth of the matter is it's all based on faith. And so Paul is trying to get them to understand that not only was a man, and he doesn't directly allude to the salvation piece of it, but he is saying that if you're going to live your life, we walk by faith, we live by faith and not by sight. He is simply saying that we're going to have to live this life here on earth according to the same faith that we exercised when we said yes to him as our Father, when we said yes to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I wrote this in my note under the direction of the Holy Spirit, Brother Manny. Isn't it ironic that for those of us who have exercised faith to come into salvation, that we sometimes still waver when it comes to exercising that kind of faith?
It
almost, in one perspective, and I like to hear your point of view on it, but in one perspective, it almost doesn't make sense. So you believe enough to be saved, but you don't believe enough to live out your life with the same level of hope and belief and trust? What do you think about that, Brother Manny?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is oftentimes a test of our ability to truly trust him.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of us, we use our words.
Okay.
We use our words to say that we believe.
Yeah.
I remember Mama and Mother Crockett and them used to say, but do you really believe?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, as a kid, I didn't really know what they were talking about, of course. You know, I was a kid doing kid things and never a care in the world. But as life, and I hate to use this, I don't even know what you call it, this phrase, when life starts lifing, because now everybody's saying it, when life starts lifing, or when it hits the fan, I mean, when you really, really need it, I mean, when your back is truly up against the wall, that's when the manifestation of true faith or trusting him, you really get that opportunity now to prove that you truly trust him. When things are going well, it's easy to say, I believe. When all your ducks are in a row, when you're driving down the road and all the lights are green, and the sun is shining, you can smile all day from ear to ear. You will see every tooth in your mouth.
Yeah.
But
when you get those doors slammed in your face, or when you hear no, or when you hear a report that you didn't anticipate you were going to hear, when you go to the store and card isn't working, it's overdrawn, when you go pick your son or daughter up, when you go pick your son or daughter up from the jailhouse, or better yet, you're going to visit them and put money on their books.
Yeah.
When you find yourself all alone in the room and the only one there is you and the devil and God.
Yeah.
Can you trust him? Can you believe? See, it has nothing to do with sight, because oftentimes what we are seeing has nothing to do with God's ability to be there.
That's right.
I'm going to say that
again.
One more time. I'm going to bring my brother on because I see my brother is here with us, and I'm going to introduce Brother Kevin as well onto the line. The reason why it has nothing to do with sight is because no matter what it looks like, has no bearing on God's ability to affect what's happening.
That's right.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
I'm blessed, man. It's always good to hear your voice, Brother Kevin.
Likewise, likewise.
I'm glad to hear you, bro. We're talking about 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and Rev was just about to elaborate a little bit more, and then I'm going to come back to you, okay?
Okay, okay, brother.
All right.
Yeah,
okay, Rev.
One of the things I like about what you said, I love the Holy Spirit, because you and I do talk a lot, but oftentimes there's some things in the lesson that we don't even discuss with each other.
No.
But the Holy Spirit ends up, like I have it in my notes too, where it says, what Paul is trying to get them to understand is that this belief or this faith or this trust has zero to do with what you say, but it's how you live out your life. So I don't have to say I have faith. I don't have to say I believe. I don't have to say I trust God. The way I live my life will be a direct indication as to where that is actually accurate. And so, like I said earlier, it becomes a trick of Satan, because if you can believe enough to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to me it takes the same measure of faith to believe that same God that you cannot see is the same God who can more than handle your problem.
Yes.
God handling our problems, it's nothing to God. And I mean, when I say it's nothing to God, when we serve a God who can speak and whatever comes out of his mouth has to manifest, then what is our issues to that type of God?
And so
that's why I was saying, like, at the end of the day, and that's what Paul is trying to get them to understand, that when you are at a place of relationship with God, then your life is reflective of the belief that no matter what happens, I'm living a life of faith, because that's how I came to God in the first place. It was through faith.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Kevin?
Yeah, I was listening to you guys' dialogue before I came on, and you know, this type of foundational truth is needed, and we need a reminder of that as well. I often read Hebrews where it talks about faith and those that came before us, and how some of them died waiting for the promise, but yet they still held on, you know, to what, like, you know, as Rev was saying, that same measure of faith that you know you have eternal life with God, you know that you're born again in God's kingdom. and it's even in our conduct, how we follow the Holy Spirit. It's in our conduct, it's in our walk that we believe. So that's indeed what it takes to as you were saying, Brother Manny, you know, when life is lifing and you know, and all the lights are green when you're going through, can you still keep that same measure of faith? And I think our biggest problem is I don't like to say one of the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is in, you know, it's just the evidence of God. He is all of those in one. And I think our biggest issue is the patience part, learning how to wait on God. And it's for us, but it's not for us, because God wants to know that we can be trusted and trustworthy. I mean, this same loving God, and when he's blessing us and to the overflow and he's there every time we call him, the same God, when you feel like he's not there, are you going to turn your back on him? Are you going to say that he's not who he say he is when he's not showing up when we want him to? So it's a test of our faithfulness to him and who he is and who we say he is when all the lights are green. So, you know, I'm reminded of my mother when my mother was in the hospital. I was amazed, and not just because it was my mother. I'm not being biased just because of my mother, but I was amazed at her faith and her. No, the Bible tells us to hold fast the profession of your faith, because there's going to be things that hit up against us that's going to try to sway us, and it's going to try to sway us from one thing: our devotion, our sincere devotion to God. That's what the enemy comes to do: steal the word, and just her resilience and her steadfastness in what she taught her children. That same faith, even though she was living her last days, and she knew. She still was praising God. She still was singing. She was like, and I remember my aunt asking her if she was scared. She was like, "No, I'm not scared." She said, "I know who I know who I'm trusting in, and I'm going to be healed either on this side or that side." So you know, I think for us, that's what we have each other for. It's to encourage each other. You know, to keep. Keep your gaze on him, because that's what the enemy comes to do. He comes to cut asunder the relationship, because that's all we have. We have his word to take with us until the manifestation comes.
Yeah, I think what you and Manny are echoing is the fact that it is easy to trust in moments when it's not stressful. when there's no tension, the absence of tension, you know what I mean? But it's like this. God is always, and this is why we can't walk in religion and we must walk in relationship. God is always trying to perfect us. Because he understands how the devil operates, right? So he created the devil. I mean, he created Lucifer, who became Satan. But he understands how he operates, right? Yes. And so God is not just trying to bless us. And when I say blessing, I'm not speaking simply of material or monetary gain. But God is not just trying to bless us for the moment. He's not just trying to rescue us for the moment. God is trying to bring out of us something that we can take, something that satisfies the moment, but prepares us for the next moment.
And so that when, because he
understands, it's like, you know, everybody wants to be elevated, Brother Keevan, Brother Manny. Everybody wants to go to the next level. I'm looking for my next in God. Blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, you keep looking for your next, and God doesn't mind giving you the next, but do you not understand there's a new devil on that next? There's a stronger attack waiting for it. And so when God is, when Paul is even telling them in this text, he's reminding them, while yet you cannot see God, the same faith you had that brought you into salvation is the same faith you should be exercising as you walk out through your life. And what I love about it is, if you back up a few verses, you'll see that Paul even tells them that God didn't just leave this up to you on your own. I gave you the Holy Spirit to help remind you of who it is you're hoping in. And not just who you're hoping in, but what you're hoping in. You know, and even as this text addresses the frailties of our human bodies and the desire to have our glorified bodies, Paul is really encouraging them to understand that until you get there, believe by faith that God is able to take care of you while you're yet here, but you got to walk that out through faith. Let me say it this way. God wants to know that we're with him because we believe in who he is in totality. And we're just there for the fishes and the loaves. Go ahead, Ben.
Right.
I mean, with the both of you are definitely hitting all the right points. I also want to just kind of echo something really quick. This is really about God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I know it sounds simplistic, but this is really about God's perfect plan. And I say it is perfect, right?
Yeah.
And so where we mess up is that we have things that we want to come to pass. Mm-hmm. But we really haven't considered if that's God's plan.
Yeah.
So we will pray on a situation or a thing and we'll toil over it. Some of us will fast and we'll pray and we'll seek the Lord for a thing that he never wanted for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Add that his plan is perpetual. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter what decision you make. His plan has always been the plan, will always be the plan. Can't nothing change it.
Yeah.
If his plan changes, that means that his word came back to him as a lie, and that's not going to happen. He'll start over.
Yeah.
So we have to seek what his plan is. And then once we understand what it is, accept it for our lives and trust him. You're saving yourself many, many heartaches. You're saving yourself so much worry. You're saving yourself nights of toiling and crying and anguish and frustration and fear and anger. You're saving yourself. Because guess what? That's why I say, be anxious for nothing.
Every
time I read that scripture, I don't know why it comes to my mind. It's like God saying, I got this. I don't know this. Like you've heard preachers say, God say he got it. No, he really does have it.
Yeah.
until we decide to trust him. Even at our weakest point, the word of God says his strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah.
I got a secret. I got a secret that maybe nobody knows, but it's set up for us to win.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do is throw an audible. You're trying to change the play, and the play can't be changed because it's set up for us to win, because this plan is perfect. But Brother Kevin.
Hey, and I tell you, man, you guys are nailing it, because God is strengthening me just by this dialogue. And you know, and as I said when I first came on, this is the foundational truths that we need to hear in the church every day. And you know, this every
your call now has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 7-0-8-6-2-9-0-9-3-4 is not available at this time. At the tone, please record your message.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, now in our church age right now, everybody wants to go so deep. Everybody brings the theatrics. They bring all of these props and all this stuff out, and we have more and more people that are seeing God in a way that that, you know, if you're not doing something for me, then you must not be God. And I think our faith does something for him, in that it connects us to him in a way, you know, and as I say, you know, as Reb was saying about when we first believe, where's that same tenacity? Where's that same faith of, you know, I want you, I you know, I accept all that you are, you know, and because we know that he accepts all that we are, and as you say, Brother Manny, he's perfecting that. He's bringing that up to his nature of us. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reminded of Enoch in the Bible, mm-hmm. Elijah in the Bible, Abraham in the Bible. Even God even said about Abraham, he said, "Should I hide what I'm doing from Abraham, knowing that, you know, he's so close to me that, you know, he can, you know, he understands, he knows my heart." And I think that's the posture that we have to take, especially in the times that we're in now and in the times that we're going into, because there's more and more things that are pressing against our faith. And I think that we look at biblical figures like Paul and David and Moses and all of these figures, and they are the ones that we can draw inspiration from because of how the Lord used them and what ways they used them. But even as we look at Moses, look at all of these things that God used him for, yet when he got to that rock, he was like, wait a minute, you know, and his he was tested. And so are we. Our faith is going to be challenged. Not that God is saying, "Hey, I'm you know, I'm taking a day off or I'm taking a season off from your life," but he's doing it to test our faithfulness. Do you believe what you say you profess? You know, as I say, holding fast the profession of our faith. Do you believe? Mm-hmm. And I think we have to have that constant reminder that this walk is by faith. That, you know, mm-hmm. And that God is always calling us higher. He's calling us closer to him all the time. And the challenges comes as a barrier between him. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get us to question God. He wants to get us to question his excellence. He he wants to get us to question, you know, to question something sort of to what Brother Manny was talking about. You know, it's already set up for us. He knows that it is. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us off, because God is never off. He's trying to get the enemy is trying to get us off to, you know, to deviate from our mm-hmm. relationship with God, right on out of God. And so, you know, it's this foundational truth is very much needed in our time now, especially the times that we're about to enter into. And, you know, as God been sharing with me lately, we're going into a time where just like Paul, just like those biblical figures, you know, this is our modern day Bible that God is writing. Mm-hmm. And he's expecting us. He's expecting us to pass the test just like some of them did. Of course, some of them had failures and stuff, but that's God can work out that as long as we hold fast to what it is that God is calling us to. And the most important thing is what the enemy was trying to take away from us. It's our devotion to him. Everything else is that God wants us to be connected to him, and we have an enemy that does not. So he's going to war against our faith. He's going to try to get us to question God, but we have to hold fast and stay the course.
Amen. When I was, you know, really looking at this lesson, it really brought correction to my life. And I say that because, you know, when you start looking at, which is why Paul is saying, we have to live by faith and not by the realization of our current state of affairs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because our state of affairs will say something that contradicts what God said about us and for us. And so at this point it becomes a battle in your mind, and that's good. And what you know to be true according to his word is going to dictate what side of the coin you end up on. And so I was kind of complaining the other day to Brother Manny about some things, and Lord forgive me for complaining about those things, because the truth of the matter is, when it's all said and done, there are a couple of words that have to be synonymous with our faith. And one of those words is obedience.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we got to be obedient to the word of God. What do I mean by be obedient to it? I don't mean simply don't sin, but if the word of God says that God is the present help in the time of trouble, then why am I complaining? If the word of God said that there's a season by which we're going to weep, then guess what? I got to understand that season is going to be just that, and there's another season on the other side of that. And so it is easy to be in a relationship with God when there's no trials.
Yeah,
but God doesn't want a relationship with us when we're not going through trials alone. God says, I want you to be able to depend on me when you're going through, because really that's the true test of if you really love me.
Yes, yeah.
If there's a dependency upon me, that's when I know the answer already. I want you to see if you really love me the way you say you do, the way you tell other people you do. And see, we get up and we proclaim our faith and our belief to other people, and we tell people we love the Lord, and ain't nothing going to change that. And then I believe that times when God is saying, oh, yeah? Well, let me see you walk that out.
Mm-hmm.
you talking right. Real pretty. You talking real tough. I'm going to remove a hedge, and I'm going to let this come up. Like I was telling somebody, the devil is not always attacking us. sometimes God is suggesting us to the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And so, but what Satan doesn't know is God is using him to perfect us.
Yes. Yes.
He's using the devil to show us to get us, put us in our rightful place, because God is never just about thinking about for the moment. God is thinking about us perpetually.
Uh-huh.
My child is going to have to deal with this day. My child is going to have to deal with this month. My child is going to have to deal with this year. So let me start building them up now, so that when the trial comes, they're already. Jesus was able to defeat Satan with the word of God when he came out of the wilderness, not because simply he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, but because he had been praying prior to that as well.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That, you know, and so when people say, well, Jesus wasn't really hungry. No, Jesus was hungry. He hadn't eaten in 40 days or 40 nights.
Yeah.
His physical body was hungry. But what Jesus understood was this sense by which there was greater to be gained in his obedience to the assignment than it was to satisfy his flesh.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to perfect, or have to allow the Lord to perfect in us. I can't just be okay, Adam and Eve, with satisfying my flesh for the moment and forfeiting the greater blessing, because this text is also speaking of eternity.
Yeah.
And the promise of it. And that's what we're hoping towards. And our lives should be reflective of that hope. How we're living our lives. I'm not living my life just to satisfy what's going on down here. I'm living my life down here to satisfy me getting into everlasting life.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a doctrine of works to be saved. I'm simply saying that I'm storing up treasures in heaven. God can bless me with all the money and all the material things while I'm down here. And guess what happens when I leave? They stay right here.
Uh-huh.
But there's a work that I can do, that we can do while we're down here, that is rewarded in eternity. And so Paul is encouraging us. Stay to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the faith. Go ahead.
No, you're 100% correct. That was going to be like my last thing that I said. And, of course, I always like bringing Bible behind what I say. You know, there's a reason why he say don't worry about certain things. It's just like you said. You can amass a fortune here.
Yeah.
And if you lose your soul, people don't understand. People just think that they're just talking about going to hell. What it's really talking about is your opportunity to be with the Lord forever.
Yeah.
We don't look at the flip side. You say, oh, that means he's going to go to hell. No, you miss out on the opportunity to be in paradise with the King forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be in constant communion, face to face with the King of Kings forever.
Yeah.
Utter and total opulence and grandeur. I mean, it's things that you have never seen. Your eyes have never seen.
Yeah.
Your ears have never heard.
Yeah.
You can't even think it.
Brother Manny, I want to throw this in. I apologize for cutting you off, because I think part of the problem with church, with some churches, with a lot of churches, is their lack of understanding of eternal life with God, right? because we have presented heaven just as this place that you're going to go and worship God forever. And that's not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even accurate. The truth of the matter is, and some of it I can't even tell you about, because a lot of it I don't even know about. But I can tell you this. Eternal life will be much more than simply us worshiping and praising God. And I know this because that's not how God started the work, started humanity.
Mm-hmm.
When he started humanity, he made provisions, and then he introduced humanity into the equation. And the plan was for humanity to live eternity in that state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, Manny, just like we are living now, we're going to know a time in eternity where there's no sin, where there's no crime. We're not going to just simply wake up, go praise God. Oh, you know what? We're praising God for all eternity. We're doing nothing else. That's not even nowhere near accurate. And so I love how you put it, though, that it's much more than the sense by which of you having eternal damnation going to hell. It is much more than that. It's you not only going to hell, but it's hell being cast into the lake of fire. It's you burning for all of eternity.
Mm.
And then the real rub is you missing out on eternal life.
Knowing a
quality of life that Adam had pre-sin that we're going to get to enjoy if we just continue to hope in God and live according to our belief in God. And really, we got to really start teaching it differently because, man, I'm not saying there's something wrong with praising God for all of eternity, because clearly it wouldn't be. But heaven, but eternity, I can't just say heaven, because we're not going to always be in heaven. When there's a new heaven and a new earth, guess where the saints of God going to be? On earth.
Hey, earth, that's right.
Right. And guess what we're going to be doing? Living in a perfect, sinless state. And the closest glimpse we can get to that is to understand what Adam might have been doing prior to him sinning. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Brother Kevin?
I think Rev is totally on the money. We have to bring God's word and speak God's word in its proper context, and we do have to remember that God's original plan was interrupted by sin.
He knew that it would happen
because he made us to have that free will, and he knew that the danger of having that free will was the ability to choose against him. But I think that goes with what we're talking about having faith, because when things press against us, we have a choice whether or not I'm going to remain, or whether or not I'm going to say, hey, well, you know what? Maybe God has given up. Maybe he's taking a day off. Maybe he's upset with me. And those are some of the things that the enemy uses. He doesn't lie to God. He lies to us about how God feels about us.
So,
you know, just like Rev was saying, you know, this, whatever Adam was doing prior, sin interrupted God's original, his perfect plan from the beginning, that this was what he wanted.
when sin came in, it caused the decay of God's perfect perfect setup for our lives. And the bottom line is this: we still haven't recovered from it. So it's taking God to bring back his original mandate for man. And in the end, that's what he is going to have. Now, when we talk about praising, and praising and worshiping, how do we worship God? You worship him with your life.
Yes.
You worship him. You present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. So that's what Adam, that's where he was with him until sin entered in and the choice was made to follow them. And then it caused us to be detached from God. And so man is still trying to find his place with God. And the enemy is working hard to try to keep us out of that place with God. And that's what's going to make the reward of heaven and until God, you know, the Bible says, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned, coming to the earth. So, and that has great significance in Scripture. And that's why I say, you know, it's important that we keep his word in proper context. Then that way we'll have understanding of his full plan. So.
And Brother Manny, I'm glad you brought that part out, because people just simply look at it as, oh, they're just going to go to hell. No, it's much more than that.
Uh-huh.
It's more. I'm just saying, you know, at different points and times in my life, I guess I wasn't scared enough. But when you think about it, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you think about the torment, the mental torment, when you think about the aspect of burning and never being consumed. To me, I think this is, I have zero Bible for this next statement. But when you think about the concept of torment, might part of the mental torment be knowing you had a decision to not even be there?
I think that's the big part of it, you know, because he gives us a choice.
Yeah.
He gives us, the Bible says, he lies every man that comes into the world. And I think the justice of God, that no one is there, because at the bottom line, if he's a righteous judge, what is judge's purpose? What is a judge's purpose? Judges give you what you rightfully deserve. So, you know, in this case, we have a choice as to where we're going to. Is mankind decision that in this day where he's going to spend eternity? So you know, but just the description that you're giving, Reverend Murphy, is, hey, that's not a place for me. I tell you that, and nothing here is worth that amount of torment. Hey, I smashed my finger last week. And I'm telling you, the pain just from that, I can't imagine that never going away. times whatever. So, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, believe it or not, that fuels my faith and my behavior. It regulates my behavior. you know, whether people say, oh, you're using scare tactics. Well, we ought to be scared of something.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there, because we got to hop on the prayer line. We got a prayer line
every day, Monday through Friday, at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I sent out the number and the code if you want to join us on the prayer line. God has me praying for the youth today and lifting them up before him, crying out for the young people today. Somebody cried out for us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody interceded for us. And I thank God that those prayers were answered and we're here today. And so time to get on our job and do the same. So I'd like to thank our brother Kevin for joining us tonight. Obviously,
amen.
Thank you, Rhea, for a good word tonight. And each and every one of you who joined live and who will listen to the recording, God bless you. It is my prayer that God bless you and your family and protect you tonight in Jesus' name. Brother Kevin, you have a last word you'd like to say?
Yes, you know, when on the topic of faith, you know, I know God is showing me, and I know he's showing many men and women in the body of Christ that the days ahead, you know, and we have to lift each other up in prayer. You know, the Bible says, especially those who are in the household of faith. And we have to realize that we are the key in the earth. God has placed us here with a special mandate to reach those who are far off and to bring them in and to help usher them into his kingdom. And so, you know, we don't want to deviate from that from that particular mandate that God has placed on our lives. So, you know, with that being said, I ask that you would all pray for me that I would remain in that place and even come closer in the Lord. And I think, you know, lifting up the body of Christ, because the days ahead are going to be uncertain for those who are not anchored in their faith and their in their relationship with God. And so, you know, my prayer is just that the body of Christ comes closer to the Lord in these coming days and months and in prayer and devotion.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. Rev?
Amen. I just want to remind us that God cares. And so does the caring church. You brothers be blessed.
Now, how many know that Jesus reigns?